This is the American Dream, Dustin Rhodes, son of a plumber, daddy, and you're listening to the Bob Culture Podcast.
Welcome in to a very special weekend roundup edition of the BCP. Very excited to talk to some super friends of mine right now after a very eventful weekend. Please welcome back to the show. You know her, the goodest sister from Kimmy Talks Wrestling, RDP Promotions, Wrestling with Questions, the No Holds Barred Network. Oh, the list goes on and on. Of course, the goodest sister, our good friend Miss Kimmy. So cool, Maria's personal protege. What up, Kimmy?
I'm doing pretty good. You know, I had to make a quick stop here before I go to Aruba. So I'm really happy to be talking to some new people. We had a huge weekend. Let's get hyped.
I love it. I'm very excited. And thank you for staying up past your bedtime, good sister. We appreciate it.
And please, my 6:30 flight can wait. The flight.
There you go. There you go. You're going to be living the dream there. So I'm excited for you, Kimmy. Have a great trip and hi to your family. And please welcome in, you know him as hashtag lay editor-in-chief of thepopbreak.com. He is a BCP OG original member. Hashtag dad instinct, Mr. Bill Bodkin. Bill, welcome in. How are you, man?
Look in my eyes. What do you see?
Love it.
It's going to be back. Felt like I was just here last week doing the same damn thing I always do. So, hey, man.
It's good to see your face. He'll tell you one on one makes three. And please welcome back to the show. You know him from Campfire Productions. Please welcome in our good friend, Mr. Michael Camp. Welcome, Camp. How are you, man?
I'm great. I just want to say December 5th, 2020, I left podcasting. August 23rd, 2021. I'm back.
I love it. What an intro. Wow, I love it, man. Welcome back. Long overdue. Lots to talk about. And please welcome back to the show. You know her from so many things, from thechairshot.com and Lucha Central and The Miranda Show. She is the queen of soft style. Please welcome back Miss Miranda Morales. Miranda, welcome back. How are you?
Oh, good. I'm really excited to be back. So hyped to talk about all the things that happened this weekend. All the things.
So many things. So many things. I don't even know where to begin. Guys, let us know in the chat if everything's coming through. Chime in with your thoughts on everything and how you think these bookings are going to go moving forward. And let's start right here. Let's talk about Friday Night Rampage. We talked about it on our NXT predictions. Would CM Punk come back? And sure enough, they gave the crowd the beginning of the show with the CM Punk chants. You know, Guinness is talking about that crowd pop record. We'll talk about that in a little bit, but just having that silence, then the crowd chant, CM Punk, CM Punk, then that famous riff by Living Color Hits, that guitar riff. Bam, 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 bam. I almost grabbed my acoustic. I didn't do it because I'm a drummer and that I would butcher it. But CM Punk comes back in what many say was a perfect return. And what a moment, what a pop in wrestling. I think for me, probably, and I'm not even a Punk guy.
You're very adamant about that.
Yes, you know? For sure. I mean, I keep it real. That being said, he's changed the business. He's always kept it very interesting. And what a night, what a moment, what a pop. Just very, very cool to see. And a lot of people said it was a perfect moment. Now, Camp, I'll throw it to you first because I know you've been chomping at the bit to talk about this. This comeback, was it emotional? What did it mean to you, man? Where were you? Tell us the whole story.
Oh, it was freaking incredible. Like, it's been so many times and rumored that he's going to come back. And you just like, you sit back and you like watch it and you're waiting for the, and it just doesn't ever hit. So I don't care how many rumors there were. I don't care if Tony Khan said like, oh, he's going to like, no one physically said he's going to show up. Even though Tony Khan was like, hey, you know, you're going to get what you want. I still didn't believe it. Even when the and the guitar riff hit, I'm still waiting for like MJF to walk out. Still waiting for something stupid to happen because it's never happened. And then he actually walks out. And dude, I'm not a crier. I almost started bawling. Like, wow. I actually am getting chills right now because like it was perfect. Like they set up the show perfectly. I thought they're gonna like wait to the end, maybe if he was gonna come out, like have a like a run in, like. To have him come start the beginning of the show, give everyone what they want. One most important thing about that is like again, AEW knows what they're doing. Tony Khan knew, okay, if you save him for the end of the night, the whole night is going to be drowned out by CM Punk chants. So you gave the crowd exactly what they wanted right off the bat. So you got those. So you don't have matches drowned out by CM Punk, like all WWE has been for the last 7 years. But like, and he comes out, has an emotional walkdown. Like I said, I wasn't crying. I was definitely tearing out. And you know, he has that emotional walk. You could tell like he was happy. Like it's been a long time since you've seen him just like happy. And then you know he cuts that promo. And it was perfect. Perfect, perfect, perfect. Like, I know he didn't apologize, but like that was cool how he was like, you know, I understand how you guys feel if I let you down. Like, that like hit my soul. And that's when a tear almost went down. I was like, okay, he's not apologizing. Doesn't need to. He made a personal decision the way he wanted to run his life, and it's fine. And I missed him, but like, epic, perfect. Like, they literally could have done anything else. Like, they even gave the fans their ice cream bars.
Yes.
Like, I don't know what else like that return could have been other than him in the GTS, but it gives that build now to all out and be like, okay, is now that's like this big match. Now you know he's going to show up, but like everything, like perfect the entrance, the promo, ice cream bars, like it couldn't have been any more perfect. That was worth 7 years waiting. Like unbelievably epic. It goes back and forth between him and Kurt Angle, my all time favorite. And that was just epic. I don't know how else to describe it. Like I said, I'm still having goosebumps. I must have watched entrance and promo like 10 times. And just, it still feels like amazing.
I love it, man. I can see the passion right now when you're talking. What a way to kick it off, man. And thank you for sharing that story, man. You know, Nunes and I, it was 10 o'clock Friday night. Nunes calls me, yo, it's 10 o'clock, whatever. He's not a big AEW guy, but now he's really getting into it a lot. So we throw on Rampage, we turn it on, we see the crowd chants, and then it just happens, you know? And I'm like, you know, we're like freaking out, but not like, I like turn off the air conditioner. I'm like, turn it up. Like, and we're just like watching it. And it was such a cool like moment to experience together, man. Like, just very well done by Punk, who seemingly just matured and seemingly showing a lot more respect for the business and wanting to put the younger guys over. He said all the right things. I feel like his head's in a good place right now. I'm excited to see what he's gonna bring to the table, because let's be real, he brought upon that reality era. He brought upon that fourth wall breaking era that we know wrestling to be very much now, which is a gift and a curse in a lot of ways. But he's changed the business. It's very interesting, and I'm a details guy. When he sat down, you know, I knew he was gonna sit down that way. Oh, it's a little hot in here. Takes off the sweatshirt. Cheap plug for the merch. It was very well done. And the ice cream bar, literally the icing on the cake, man. Very good. Welcome in Joe Hale to the chat. Miranda, let's throw it to you. Your thoughts on the return of CM Punk.
Yeah. Well, I have kind of an interesting story about how I saw it or found out about it. And I was actually in the crowd going to my first GCW show, Game Changer Wrestling Show. And before the show started, I saw people crowd around, like huddle around phones. And I'm thinking, I wonder what everybody's watching, because it kind of slipped my mind. And to be honest, I was a little bit in that skeptical pool of, is he actually going to show up? And when I started to see what people were watching, they were all watching that CM Punk promo in his return. So groups of people, you know, at an independent wrestling show. And some of these are fans, some of these are actual independent wrestlers, like just to see how that impact had a literal ripple effect at a live event was awesome to see, and really put into perspective how big of a deal this was. And kind of echoing a lot of what Camp said as far as, yeah, I was fairly skeptical, because they've said it for years. There was always a hint. Now, the rumors weren't as strong as they were this time around. And I absolutely agree as well that starting off the show with that was the right thing to do, because that could have absolutely sabotaged, even though he could have helped people for, say, bigger ratings towards the end of the show. It was going to absolutely just ravage the entire show if you didn't start off with it. So I think that the placement of it was great. The acknowledgement. I mean, it was 20 minutes. That whole thing was 20 minutes and it didn't feel that way, too. So I think that's also the beauty of it. People really got captured and carried away with the moment, with the emotion, with, you know, wow, this is really happening. And I think it really did take a company like AEW to come into fruition for this to happen. If AEW didn't exist, I highly doubt we would have had this happen. So it's this also, I think it's an acknowledgement of how much the wrestling world has changed within the past few years, where we haven't had CM Punk in 7 years, but would we have ever had him back if it wasn't for the creation of AEW and the, you know, the very specific vision and leadership that they have put out there, especially, I mean, It aligns so well with who CM Punk has stated he is and what he believes in wrestling. So it's crazy to think how all of the stars have aligned. It's almost like in a good way, apocalyptic movie, when all the, you know, the planets align, yeah, and the stars come together, mm-hmm, and everything happens, you know, even just the way. And at that point, you know, it's intentional having Rampage in Chicago, but, you know, having everything come together, I think that too just added to it that we got here, we're here, he's back, he found his way back, the fans have found their way, you know, AEW has provided that stage for him, you know, onto this next chapter that is CM Punk. And that to me is the more exciting thing, is here's another chapter in this book that a lot of people thought was closed.
Very, very well said, Miranda. And that's why you're here. I love that perspective. Real quick, going back to the chat, welcome in the Meat Boys, Meats and Tweets on Twitter, always cooking up some good food. Welcome in, boys. Reese, thanks for tuning in. Joe, thanks for tuning in. Summer saying, I met CM Punk at ROH when I was 27. Chill guy, spoke with him for 20 minutes. Very, very cool. Let's throw it to Billy Drip Drip. What do you got, my man?
Not into that name.
That's what we... Nunes goes, that's the real drip, when Goldberg was sweating everywhere, so we called him Billy. Go ahead.
Yes, unfortunately, some parts of that match. Man, I gotta tell you, so I was one of those people who was like, I actually emailed an old professor of mine who I keep in touch with from college, and I was like, I don't think I've been this excited for a wrestler or a wrestling show that's outside of like a Dynamite premiere or something, like, or like a new show that was starting. I said, I don't think I've ever been this excited for a show. And he said, and I've been watching wrestling for 32 years, and he's been watching wrestling for like 50 plus years. And he said, I don't think I have either. And so I, but like a lot of people, I'm like, is it really going to happen? I mean, they kept saying, yeah, it's going to happen. But I'm like, you know, would we just see a graphic? Would he show up on a video screen? Like, what's he going to do? And I'm like, man, a lot of those ideas, they do that in Chicago, they just might as well never run Chicago again, because they would be pissed, yeah, and rightfully so. But I actually was in the mountains on like a trip with some friends, and I was like, tethering my phone to my laptop, be like, I need to watch this. And they're like, this is like a friend's getaway. I'm like, yeah, I need to watch this. It's going to take 20 minutes. Don't worry, I'll get drunk later. And I did during it. Don't worry. God, I got to keep a reputation. Don't worry, this legitimately was water, so it's nothing else. But it's Monday night, guys. I got to work. But it's when they just straight up did it, I was so shocked when he walked out like everyone else. I'm like, oh, my God, he really did it. And I got to tell you, for me, and this is going to – hopefully I'll bring everything down, is I went to my phone to text my dad and be like, you're never going to believe what just happened. My dad's been dead for 10 years, but I do stuff like that sometimes, like certain things I'll be like, oh shit, I got to tell him that. And I was like, oh no, that was dope. No, that's not going to happen. And then like, when I saw him sitting in the top of the ring, he's in tears, and I'm just like, then I started to tear up, and I don't care. I'll admit it. I totally did, because it's like, CM Punk was one of my favorite wrestlers. I've watched him since he was in the Murphy Rec Center for Ring of Honor starting in 2003. So I've been watching him for 18 years, and you know, was one of the reasons who kept me in watching WWE during some times during the ECW days, which were awful, you know, mm-hmm, but he was always great in it. And then, you know, when he got to WWE, it was like, he was my guy. He was the reason I watched it. And when he left, I kind of was always like, WWE kind of took a little hit for me until NXT came around, really, and brought me back in there. But you know, I was a little, you know, hit or miss on how I felt about his post WWE presence, stuff he had with Colt Cabana, like all that stuff. Kind of, I was like, I don't know how I feel about CM Punk anymore. But when he came out, I was like, oh boy, no, he's still one of my favorite guys, man. And when he cut that promo, I've watched that promo about 5 to 6 times because I still just, it's not because of anything he said. It was because I still can't believe the reaction.
Yeah.
Like, I've been watching it for so long. I'm like, I don't know if I've ever seen a reaction that long, like that hot, fever pitched for so long. We've heard the massive arena shaking pops before, but whether it be Austin or The Rock or whomever, or The Undertaker, and it's just, but this just kept going for 20 minutes almost. And that was the most wild thing about it. And ice cream bar fact, he actually paid for those himself. He's had those in the works. He paid for them himself. So when the company that made it was like, he did this. This wasn't AEW. This was him the whole way. He paid for 15,000, 16,000 ice cream bars. You know what I mean? And him coming back, you could tell he's ready to go. And it was a needle mover for AEW. That was a little because they jumped like 500,000 viewers on a Friday night at 10 o'clock. They have ridiculous numbers on YouTube. Him being there, this is a whole new chapter. This is a whole new, even Tony Khan says, a whole new chapter for AEW. And it really, really is, because now you're off to the races. Now you've got more exposure. Now you've got all these people who were CM Punk fans forever who just kind of like, he's not there. Why am I watching wrestling anymore? Who might be like, now I'm going to start watching again, maybe. And you're going to get those eyes there. They're already moving tickets around the country for shows that have been out there. And now it's the big creative decisions. Now AEW, it's just like, it's not just the guys you started with. Now you're bringing in the big guns. And this is going to be a really interesting time for dream matches. And then who's going to step up? Because now it's just like, a lot of people were in positions in the beginning of AEW where just like, we don't really have anyone, so you're going to be on TV all the time. Well, now you got to work harder to get on TV. And the AEW, you know, people will say, well, they're going to forget about their core guys. I don't see that happening, because the title still, everyone still wants Hangman to win that title. Mm-hmm. And if you thought people cried for CM Punk, you best believe they're going to cry for Hangman Page. But I mean, think that's the thing about AEW is the emotional investment was there. So it felt right. It felt right. People care. And I think that's why you saw that you had the guy who was crying and everyone was like, oh, making fun of him. I'm like, that was so many people crying. CM Punk was crying. Like, yeah. Let's get over it. But it was a great moment. And it's easily one of the top moments in AEW history.
Yeah. And you keep using the word moment, man. I think you summed it up perfectly. It's one of the biggest moments in recent memory. It's just all just amazing when you think about that, man, and the reactions from the fans. You telling your story, Bill, thank you for sharing that, man. That's just like amazing. And it's, you know, it shows how much that return means to a lot of people. And if you're AEW, keep your foot on the gas right now, man. Now's the time to make those moves, and it'll be very interesting to see what they're doing moving forward. So let's throw it to the goodest sister. So Kimmy, CM Punk was a wrestler back in the when you were 2 years old. No, she does know more than me. I'm not even lying. What do you got?
Do know more than you. Okay, so you know this is a big deal when Mama So Cool is watching Rampage.
Wow, Mama So Cool
has not watched wrestling since CM Punk left.
Wow.
So, you know, this is like huge stuff. And so when she watches AEW, when my dad has on, and she's just like in the room, she's like, what is this? Because she's so used to like the WWE high produced stuff. Mm-hmm. And I go, this is better. No, it's not. We were in separate rooms, me and my dad and my mom, when we were watching like Punk. So we went downstairs. My mom goes, you know what? I'm going to watch AEW every week now. And I go, yeah, That thing you were calling garbage on Wednesday, now you're going to watch it every week. I see you. So for me, it's interesting because before Rollins, Punk was the guy, right? And I've compared myself to Punk a lot personally, just like his character of defying authority. That's what I did in high school. I know I'm such a good person. So I was someone who, like Camp said, really thought MJF was going to walk out instead, because WWE did that. The first Raw in Chicago, Heyman walked out to Punk's music.
That's right. Yeah.
We're so trained, and I'm not saying this is a bad way, we're so trained by WWE over the last 20 plus years of how they do things. So we're not like, no one's, everyone's expecting to be like, oh, it'll be interrupted. Oh, it'll be a deal, instead of giving it a moment, letting it breathe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was funny because my dad was like, is this actually happening? Like, there's no way. We were just so in shock. And my friend was like, it's not going to happen on Rampage. There's no way. But I couldn't see it any better. I think it had to be at Rampage because that just gives Rampage this whole new value. Even looking at last week's number, I think it was like 700,000 or 600,000. And now it's, it's like now it's 1.1. So you just see now people are going to tune to Rampage because now 1.2, 1.1, rounding. I round like WWE, you know, 48,000 is the new 51. That's what they did on Sunday.
48,000 is the new 90,000. Let's go
for it.
Exactly. But now like Rampage has this whole new credibility that you're going to tune in every week because the first one they had Laney. Now you have CM Punk. Who's going to show up next week? What's going to happen?
Yep.
It's very
interesting. There's a lot, supposedly, maybe, kind of, hopefully, that's going to happen.
Mm, that's true.
Yeah.
All I know is Mama So Cool's in, and I'm good for that.
But that's the thing. It's like, that's the AEW story, is like bringing people back who just stopped caring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When Khan tweeted the night before, like, hey, I just want to welcome people to AEW. I want to welcome people back to wrestling because tomorrow we're really going to deliver. And a lot of people, I saw people on Facebook, like, who work in the business but don't necessarily watch the product anymore. Just like, this is the first time I watch wrestling in 7 years. So it's really interesting to see how.
This is his number one guy, though. Punk was his number one. He has been he wanted to start with him. CM Punk and Chris Jericho were his two guys he wanted to start AEW with, or whatever. It wasn't even AEW then, but those were his two guys that he pitched TNT with. He says, I can bring, this is who I want to start it with. And he got Jericho first.
That's it. Very, very interesting. Real quick on in the chat, welcome in the international shining star, Mr. Ray Caligi, killer promo. Guys, if you're an indie wrestler, watch that promo by Mr. Caligi, because that is how it's done. A little fourth wall breaking, much like CM Punk. Joe Hale in the chat, we're going to talk about Becky and Bianca in just a minute. Joe Hale asking, what do you guys think of the Bray Wyatt rumors coming to AEW? We'll keep it short and sweet. I'll just say this real quick. I think it's a done deal. Not official, obviously. There's a time period that needs to go by. I think for sure Bray is going to be there in some form or fashion. It may not be soon, but I do see it happening. We did see that fan or whoever looked like Bray going around taking pictures with people from the stands. I don't know if that was him or wasn't him, but a lot of fan fun with that. But I do see Bray getting there as soon as his mental health isn't good, and hopefully he's in a good spot with everything.
There's a lot of denying if that was ever a problem.
Oh, wow. That's a whole nother thing.
Yeah, he was supposed to come back, and actually the conversation of him actually coming back to wrestle is the day they told him he was released. So he was ready and willing to come back, and Vince is like, no, we don't like the way he wanted to change the storyline, and Vince is like, no, goodbye. So he was ready and willing to come back.
I didn't know that much. Wow, that's interesting. Well, all for that reason, I do see him coming to AEW. Will it be The Fiend? Will it be a Bray Wyatt incarnation? We'll see moving forward. But I'm sure a lot of these guys are excited to work with some of these AEW talents, man. It's going to be fun. The real winners, the fans, like I always say. Let's talk about this real quick. Let's throw it to this. The big return of Becky Lynch, obviously an audible in my mind because of Sasha not being able to compete, which is a whole nother story in itself. But Becky returning, I popped for it, but obviously, I mean, I think everyone kind of agrees here. The booking for Bianca, who we've been a big proponent of since NXT days, and I got to meet Bianca. She's sweetheart, and her moveset is amazing. I feel like they're still kind of benching her, like until WrestleMania came around. She had that stellar match. Like, she could do amazing things in the ring. So I thought that booking was strange. I do like the unexpected, but Nunes kind of put it this way. It's like, you made Bianca look like a chump. And I don't particularly understand that, especially when you're trying to build stars. Bianca's a star. Let's be right. She made her own gear. Hashtag wrestling fashion nominee. But she's doing amazing things. So I thought this was very strange. Plus, I also felt they went out of their, and I'm not like a big Carmella person. I used to be, but I think they went out of their way to bury Carmella as well. Like, let's have her come out. Let's have this feud. Like, yeah, it's a misdirect. But then, like, Becky just kind of, and I'm a big fan of Becky, just kind of shoves her aside. So you also kind of did Carmella dirty there too. So it was, I keep using the word interesting. It was very interesting. I don't know who wins there. I think retroactively, and I said this on Sunday, I'm like, oh, they're going to turn Becky heel, because at the end of the day, the crowd decides who's face or heel. You can book it any way you want. At the end of the day, the crowd decides that. So
let's put fake crowd.
Yeah. Oh, don't get me started. Don't get me started on that with the
sorry.
Yeah.
Come on. We have real people back finally. Can we not control the sound? That,
well,
yeah.
And it's interesting that she had to win. Like, I think they could have done well enough with a confrontation to set something up. Mm-hmm. But, and understandably, there's always money in the chase. But I think that Bianca and you, you almost see the polar opposites. Like Nikki Ash, who, you know, won the Raw Women's Championship after Money in the Bank, you know, that was literally money in the chase, but that was not deemed as successful, and Charlotte won the championship. Whereas I think Bianca has really clearly stated that she's been a great champion, and the money is no longer in the chase, it's in the retention of the championship. So you in some ways feel like you're taking a step back in order to elevate Becky up, when you could have just set the tone for a future program and let it roll out. Even if the ultimate result was for Becky to win long term, you just set the stage. That's it. You didn't have to do that match. And I think also that would have been the draw of waiting in anticipation of when we see them both in the ring. And they kind of just went bypassed that, you know, collected $200 when you pass go, and they just fast forward through it.
Very, very well said, Miranda. I think you hit it right on the head. And other little things I noticed, like I'm a details guy, Bianca's face and like her facial expressions were amazing, like through that whole scenario, like through Carmella coming out, through Becky coming out, through the excitement of challenging Becky to losing. And like, I think part of her really was kind of insulted in some form or fashion, but her facial expressions were great. It's all about the little things. So this will be interesting moving forward. I hope Bianca does get that match, because I think it could be really good. And I love Becky. I popped for Becky for sure. I was confused at the timing of her entrance music and all that. They really just kind of brushed Carmella aside, but I'm a long-term story guy. I'm a planner. I don't like these reactionary things. And I said on Sunday, I'm like, oh, they're going to turn Becky heel because the crowd decides to heel. The crowd wasn't happy. The internet wrestling community wasn't happy. It seems the natural way to go. Now that all these reports are coming out, that might change again. We'll see what happens on Friday. If anything, I'm sure most of us will be watching, though. A real quick reason, the comments saying, ironically, the same thing that made the man popular might have drawn her some heat. Yeah, don't forget, she was supposed to be a heel initially, and that made her so popular in the first place. So Becky's doing great stuff, obviously being a mom first and foremost. So great job out of Becky, and she looks great, came back. And with the manhandle slam, I believe they called it. So very, very interesting. Bill, I'm going to go grab something real quick. Bill, tell us your thoughts on the return of the man Becky Lynch and the booking with Bianca. Go ahead.
Well, I'm going to bounce pass it over to Kimmy, because she was chomping at the bit to get over there. So, Kimmy, why don't you get it while Rob goes and bees a bad host right now.
Oh, thank you so much. So
I've hosted a podcast before. It's okay. Don't worry about it.
Oh, of course. That's what. So I'm not going to get my Rollins one, because I'm kind of embarrassed that he lost and tapped out. Anyway, so you have to realize a couple things here. One, the live event the week before SummerSlam, Bianca and Sasha both didn't show up. SmackDown, Sasha also didn't show up. They knew ahead of time Sasha, for whatever reason, was not going to appear at SummerSlam, but they still hyped the match. That's WWE's fault. Whatever the reason was, they knew she wasn't cleared. We knew as fans, because Wrestle Inc. reported it, that she wasn't appearing. So that's all on WWE. If you knew, you shouldn't have hyped the matchup. And then going back to Carmella, Bianca's had this thing with Carmella and Zelina. Like, that's the whole thing. Sasha, Zelina, Carmella, they're like the Mean Girls feud that was supposed to happen with Chelsea and her squad. That was the original plan.
For all those who don't know.
Yeah. In case, you know, everyone got confused. Anyway, so the thing is, the only feud Bianca's had with her title was with Bayley, and then Bayley got hurt. So she never really got a real run as champion. And the other thing with Becky is, like, I didn't mind Becky coming out, but like Miranda said, you didn't have to have the match. You could have had the confrontation. And for me personally, I think Becky needs to go on Raw. I don't think SmackDown needs her. SmackDown has a very in-depth women's roster. Toni Storm has not been there since she's debuted. Liv Morgan has disappeared since Money in the Bank. Naomi, who's been moved to SmackDown, which they didn't announce, but that's been reported a couple months ago. Where has she been?
Mm-hmm.
You have all these people that you could have challenge Bianca and have a feud with, where the Raw women's division is clearly slacking because Charlotte, within the past 2 months, has had two title reigns. So that's your issue. For me, Becky becoming heel, I guess it makes sense to be like the for Bianca to be face. But I mean, going off of Rob, the facials were way too long at the end and they were stalling for a card that had to end at 11 o'clock because there was a UFC fight at 11:30.
You hit it right on the head. You mentioned the word stalling. You could feel it at times. Some of the entrances, and I'm an entrance guy, super long, like you said, outro super long. The Shinsuke Nakamura entrance, which is always great, was phenomenal. I love the live music. I love I hate that McAfee's so good at everything, but it was fun. It was good. But they were like, oh, this is just for the entrance and the theatrics. And the water gun thing was, it seemed very, you know, usually when they do that spot, it comes out with a truck or a hose or something. It seemed very, like, time-consuming.
That's my other question, yeah. Though. Where is Kofi Kingston? Because he wasn't on Raw either. Where is he?
He's hurt.
He was injured.
Oh.
Is he?
Yeah. That's why he's not on TV. He's been injured for a while.
Yes, he likes his Kofi to go. Let's throw it to Camp. What do you got? Those
jumping dicks.
Listen, I absolutely love Becky. I was at WrestleMania 35 when she, you know, became Becky Two Belts, like, and it was an incredible moment. That was horrible. Listen, I will admit, I'm a big, you know, AEW guy. I have barely watched Raw or SmackDown, but like I was like, I'm not missing SummerSlam because I haven't missed it since I was a little kid. So I was expecting like some surprises, you know, heard like Becky, you heard of, like other people. And then, yeah, I heard that Sasha, you know, was going to be there, wasn't going to be there. But they ran the promo even before the match, which I thought was like, okay, like, or why are you doing that if you knew she wasn't coming out? You know, and then, you know, she beats Carmella the night before, and then Carmella's gonna get title shot. Like Kimmy said, like, what about Toni Storm? What about Liv Morgan? Like, were they? They could have at least had like an appearance, like get them into a storyline. But fine, even scrap that. Like, okay, all, maybe that was all to be built. Like, so Becky comes out. Great, awesome. Becky comes out. I got really excited. I was like, oh, this is freaking awesome. I'm like, so excited. Like, what is gonna happen? You know, and I was like, it's gonna be a triple threat. Then it becomes like it turns out to be like a one-on-one. I'm like, oh, here we go. Like, this is like two awesome talents. Like, they're going to have, this is going to be epic. This is going to be better than her and Sasha. And then it's like, what, 15 seconds? Are you serious?
27.
Like, 27? Like, you could have done so many things. You could have, like everyone else said, like, you could have had just, you know, the confrontation. You could have had Carmella come in and make a disqualification, like get a disqualification, like jump. Like Becky, listen, I have no problem with her winning the title. If it would have been like a 10-15 minute match and then she won the title, great. Okay, like let's maybe like somehow something, maybe even have Carmella like sweep a leg or something like that because the storyline's been going on, so maybe Paul's not gonna lose. But to straight up get the Brock Lesnar Kofi Kingston title drop, you killed that momentum. And then on top of that, you had the 24 episode of WrestleMania Night 1 right after SummerSlam. Yeah. Like,
That's like, salt on the wound.
Yeah,
that's salt like, on the wound. That's dirty. That's
yeah,
dirty.
Like,
they
dirty. We stole your title, but here's a cool special for you.
Yeah,
like,
remember? you're not champion anymore, but remember when you first won? Yeah, that was pretty cool.
We already had that cool moment. You know, so like, you know, we gave you that cool moment. So, just destroyed you. Like, it's fine. It's just like, this is it kind of like, I posted on social media and said it, like, this is kind of why I don't watch Raw and SmackDown because it's laughable. Like, I used to get angry, but now it's just laughable. Like, you just destroyed one of your biggest talent. And you're really like, it's, and you have so much talent in the back. Like, Toni Storm, they ever since she came from the UK over to NXT, they haven't done anything with her. Just, like, pushed, like, her and Bianca that have an awesome storyline. But now you just bury her and Becky's back. And then if I could throw one more comment in, like, I kind of feel like, I wonder if that was like a shot from Vince because of CM Punk. Like, oh, we got to do something crazy. We got to take the internet back. You know, everyone's talking about CM Punk. Let's make them talk about something else. And it's like, why? You know, why? It just made zero sense. Zero sense.
No such thing as bad press, man. It's interesting, dude.
Oh, there is.
I very much agree. I very much, as the saying goes, I very much agree.
Well, Rob, I didn't get to, I bounced over to Kimmy. So there was a way to do this, in my opinion, is, okay, Sasha doesn't show up. So you have them, Carmella and Zelina come out. And they say, well, Sasha's not here because she had something more important. She's, you know, she's a big Hollywood star. She's more important. So what we're here to do is, I know we're not going to have, what we're here to do is we're just here to kick your ass. And then they start beating her up. Becky Lynch comes out.
Yeah.
Now let's, the one thing I was listening to Busted Open today and Bubba Ray Dudley came out with a good point. This is Becky Lynch's first match in over a year. She had a kid. So she's in phenomenal shape, but is she in ring shape? So could she really go for a 15, 20 minute match just out cold? Probably not. You know, they said she did well, you know, work with Indy Hartwell and NXT, which is great. What you could have done there was Becky Lynch comes out and we get an impromptu tag team match between Carmella and Zelina versus Becky and Bianca. You know, Bianca's getting beat. It doesn't even have to be that long. Bianca's getting beat up. Boom, hot tag to Becky, knocks him down. You could even do a spot where, you know, she hits the – it's the rock bottom. I don't care. That was the rock bottom. She hits the rock bottom. Bianca hits the KOD. Double pin. They shake hands, and Becky Lynch says, gets on a mic, and she says, I'm so happy to be back. And something to the point of just like, just because I'm became the mom doesn't mean I'm still not the man and champ. You may be great now. You might be the future of this company, but I'm the present. Coming for the belt. See you down the road, kid. And that's how everyone's like, oh, shit, now we're going to get this match. But instead, now we got to do damage control and be like, well, Becky's going to be a heel. And Bianca's still a face. And people are like, well, let's see it play out. Hey. All right. I almost dropped the MF bomb there. So I just don't. I'm going to do it. Hey, motherfuckers. When has Let's Let It Play Out worked
right?
The last 5 years in WWE?
I was going to say.
Remember Rob's favorite segment, Raw Underground? Where Rob almost had an aneurysm trying to
make that?
Sense of that. Rob was like, what does it mean? I felt so bad for him. I'm like, come here. Let me touch your head. It's nothing.
They tried, you know, for 5 years to put Roman Reigns as over as he is now because they wanted to dictate.
They don't let things play out. They never play out. They stop. They end. And like people, I don't think people want to boo Becky Lynch. I don't think they do. Maybe they will because she's really good at what she does and maybe she could figure out a way to do it. But we tried this before. Let's stop trying to make fetch happen. Had to get it in at least once. And it's like, we didn't want to boo her because we love her. She just had a baby and you want me to pretend she's the bad guy?
Well, and even the celebration, that was not a heel celebration. Nothing about it unless... She may come out this week on SmackDown and start the heel run there, but you know, at that point, it's already too late. It's some mixed signals, unsure results as far as you know. What are they trying to do here? And I absolutely agree. It feels more like damage control than.
And pain. You could have kept Sasha in play somehow,
but
you didn't. You're just like, well, she can't be here. Well, why? Like, you know, make something up. You know, the history of wrestling, you've created stories out of injuries and real life situations. You cover it somehow. Okay. If she has
the dog came to life and got her, like whatever it is. Like,
At this point, I would have accepted that then. I don't know.
You could have had like old footage of her like laying on the ground and like someone knocked her out. Like,
you could have put a wig on anyone and had them laying there. They've done that before where they just have like, Pentagon Jr. got beat up in AEW. It wasn't him. It was some other dude because he was so much smaller and he got beat up. And I'm just like, there's no tattoos on that guy. That's why he's wearing a jacket right now. He's wearing a padded suit because it's not Pentagon. And like these things, like it's just like ridiculous. It's just like, why take your number one draw? Becky Lynch is it. She is the star of WWE. And I was like, let's make her bad guy. And you're like, what are you doing?
Yeah. It's like Miranda said, mixed signals. You hit it right on the head. It's like, this is that long-awaited return. Becky's been trolling everybody. And we talk about punks, and I hate to do this versus that, but let's talk about it. Everyone using the word perfect when describing Punk's return. Mm-hmm. And you know, of course, oh, let's Punk return. This is a big thing. Like, got to bring Becky out. Rush, reactionary, mixed signals, like you said. And again, it's like, we keep saying, Becky return, they did this. Like, we're not like, oh, Becky's back. Like, we are, like, about Punk. Obviously, different story. But I just hate the negative connotation that comes with her return because of the booking, and that's a shame. At the same time, we to be fair, call it down the middle. We did say on the last podcast for SummerSlam predictions that Bianca did need to face some sort of, I don't want to say adversity, but some sort of conflict in her title reign because she's been on top, won the Rumble, all that stuff. Maybe somehow, some way, this could be the best thing to happen to her. I don't think so, but maybe they do it right. I hope Bianca does get some shine because of this and has a hill to climb. Yeah, you got to do something.
Okay. Another thing too, if you think about it, they were hinting at a Bianca heel turn because she was calling herself the meanest and the baddest. So common sense, turn her heel.
She did do it in NXT. She could do anything. Yeah, maybe it'll go that way instead, kind of the swerve. I'm interested to see where it goes, but wasn't thrilled with that booking. But let's move on here, guys. In the chat, the question is, and we're going to talk about this next, what is your guys' opinion on, Caveman Brock Lesnar, it says in the chat.
That was his uncle, I think.
Coming back, good sister, we'll throw it to you. Ready? Are you ready for another Brock party?
He should have not went to SmackDown. He should have went to Raw.
I agree.
Because you have a list of people that could face Roman Reigns right now. You have still the Finn Balor mystery. You have Rollins, and I'm not even being biased when saying that. I'm not. That's the storyline. He keeps saying he's going to have a title run. Yep. So you have Rollins. You have a list of people that could verse Roman Reigns. Who the hell is on your list to wrestle Bobby Lashley right now?
Big E.
Wrong brand.
Well, there's a draft coming.
But still.
That's my thing. When? And the other thing is, too, I was talking to my friend about this, too. When is this match happening? Is this match happening at Saudi? Is this happening at Extreme Rules? Is there a pay-per-view in between Extreme Rules and the Saudi show? Are they going to wait till Survivor Series? What is the point of all this?
Yeah.
Are we going to put Paul Heyman on a ladder and we're going to fight for the custody of
Paul Heyman? Paul Heyman's that got trapped between the old man and the new man. Like that, the pure reaction on his face, he got caught. Yeah.
And you talk about how you think Becky was mainly for Punk, like, in WWE's like thing for Punk. Brock Lesnar was the thing for Punk. Because if you think about it,
I agree with you. It's just like, I'm ready. Like, all right, whatever.
I was like,
I agree with you. I agree with you. Okay.
Brock wasn't supposed to resign with WWE. He was supposed to go back to fighting. Why is he here?
Doesn't have to train as hard.
I think the Brock return was definitely like, hey, we'll have it at SummerSlam. Yeah, we have a feeling Punk's gonna come out on Friday, all that stuff. I think the Becky was like, let's go, let's do this now. Yeah. Like, let's go, make it quick.
That was the difference.
Yeah, like it's crazy. Miranda, your thoughts on
that? I just want you to clip that part of you going, and just play it at random points.
I'm gonna put in the Kermit the Frog.
I would say I was very surprised. I did not expect to see Brock Lesnar at the end of that match. As far as brands, Brock Lesnar is the person who can go between brands. Brands do not exist for Brock Lesnar. He is above all of that.
No rules.
He is the man who just jumped into Money in the Bank and won the briefcase without even being in the match. The rules do not apply to Brock Lesnar. So as far as the competition, now I am curious as to, you know, maybe they're keeping this ball rolling with Roman Reigns of beating these legends, these top tier guys, to eventually, if you know the speculation is true, roll into the Rock later on. So I could see why now, you know, it's anyone else on the SmackDown roster right now is not at the level that Roman Reigns is on, period. Like, that is just the honest truth. As much as I'd love to see even a program with Big E, when you think about the level that Roman Reigns is on, it is above anything and anyone else in all of pro wrestling. And really the only thing at this point that I could see why they're doing that is, who's the other person that the rules doesn't apply to? Who's the other person who does whatever he wants and faces whoever he wants. That's Brock Lesnar. I am a little curious also, and I don't know if this will play out very much, but what is the Paul Heyman factor in this, you know? Mm-hmm. Paul, you know, ended his business relationship with Brock to sign with Reigns when we've already seen a pretty heated Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar feud. So how does that come in and play out? But I was surprised, you know, as far as, you know, elated or excited, not necessarily. That's just me. You know, I can appreciate Brock Lesnar, but I'm not a Brock Lesnar markout guy. So, you know, I take it in as it is. But I do think that it does kind of make sense that we're at this level now, because I don't think there's anyone else on Roman Reigns level left for him to face at this mm-hmm. moment.
Very, very well said. And I like the way that you look at it, just in terms of, you know, we see Reigns running through everybody. Who's going to be on that level? You have Brock, who has no rules. Brock that could win a title at any time, knock anyone down. And we did see Roman kind of retreat a little bit there at SummerSlam. So I think that's a really great point in terms of what you think of Brock's return. Like, who is going to be someone that you're like, oh, this guy could beat Roman. I personally don't think it's going to be Brock this time around, but it could happen. And I am interested to see what will happen with that Heyman factor. Camp, your thoughts on this one?
Yeah, I agree with Miranda. Like, that's kind of what I was thinking when Brock came back. I'm not a fan of Brock at all, especially it just seems like he has these very lazy, short matches and everything like that. But yeah, I think he brought him back to face Roman. And I actually think, agreeing with Kimmy, or actually kind of going off Kimmy's point, it might be for a Crown Jewel. Just because that's going to get like the ratings and everything like that. But that could be another guy that just puts Roman on like another level, because it seems like they're just building him and building him and building him. I mean, I would like to see him against Finn, against Big E, but I guess like after he beats Cena, it's like, who is like bigger than that? So I guess if you bring Brock back for that reason, that's good. But yeah, I think that's got to be the only reason, because if Brock seen the not be coming back or kind of go in the fight. So I think they just said, hey, Brock, why don't you come in and make, you know, build up Roman a little bit. Throw in this time the Paul Heyman kind of in between, makes it a different kind of a storyline than before. It's like, oh, which way is Paul going to go? Is Brock going to talk for himself? So, I mean, it's going to be a little different. So, and then if you do put Roman over Brock, which I think they should do, it kind of put them in like this extreme level. And it's like, now what? And then I hope the payoff is eventually like putting over, you know, somebody to beat Roman, but we know WWE just kind of drops the ball. So we'll see what happens.
Oh boy. Bill, I'm very interested in your thoughts on the return of Brock Lesnar at SummerSlam.
I actually like it.
Oh yeah. Because
we have now flipped the script, and Brock Lesnar, for one of the few times in his career, is the face of a feud. He's the good guy. So that's different. And he doesn't have Paul Heyman for the first time in forever. So what is that Brock Lesnar? That's interesting to me. Does that mean I'm going to watch? But it's interesting because it's like, okay, what can Brock do on his own? We know Brock can be funny. We know, you know, in small spurts, we know people like Brock. And the thing is, we have to put over the fact that Roman Reigns has been a really, really good heel. And he's probably been one of the few major bright spots in WWE. And that's what they've wanted for so long. And unfortunately, what they're not doing right now is they're not building the next cat who's going to beat Roman Reigns. Who's that next hot babyface to beat him? I mean, I'm not even going to go to Jacksonville and talk about there. I'm going to go in-house to talk about NXT. When NXT was red hot, we always knew that there was four or five people in the men's or women's division that at any time could be a great main eventer for a championship program in a takeover or win that belt. And sometimes they even surprised us. Like Andrade was what a surprise. Who saw that one? You know, people were like, whoa, I didn't think he'd win, but that was a great match. And we got the Andrade Gargano classic. I mean, that's, you know, so it leads us places where we don't have that in WWE right now. We don't even have Seth Rollins heated up to fight someone. And that's weird. Like Seth Rollins is not like heated up to be a top heel. That's why they got to move him or do something with him. Cause right now it's like you have a bunch of people who are just wandering around doing not much. You've beaten all these people. So you got to get that person heated up. But if you could figure out a way to have Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns span out for a few months And even if you have an in-between feud with someone, throw Finn Balor in there, I guess, for an in-between feud, and then you figure it out in the Royal Rumble. I think Brock and Roman with this power dynamic swapped is super interesting, and it's one of the few times I can say a WWE title feud in the men's division, at least, has been super interesting. So I don't know if it'll be executed well, but on paper, it has potential. And that's something that I don't often see in WWE right now. Excuse me for one second after I finish my point.
Yeah, of course. But very, very well said.
He
yeah.
just did the mic drop. He just like, and I'm leaving now. Thank you. Yeah. Bye.
He's big timing us. In the chat, Reese saying Heyman will be the ultimate story between Roman and Brock. That should be an interesting factor, which we keep talking about. I'm thinking who's going to be talking for Brock. No disrespect there. I need that clip of Mike doing the Brock scream. I might pull that up during the live feed. But I think Heyman is somehow not necessarily going to be with Brock, but somehow will do almost the control the narrative for Brock a little bit. Mm-hmm. So that should be very interesting doing the talking for him. Let's move on to our next point and our final point here tonight. The future of Adam Cole. Will he remain on NXT as Adam Cole Bay, or will he go All Elite and get that Adam Cole payday? Let's throw it to Camp. Your thoughts on this one?
He's gone. Sorry. Like,
wow.
Didn't even hesitate. He didn't even hesitate. Straight in for the jugular.
Like, it was great. He put Kyle O'Reilly, but like, he lost to a one arm Kyle O'Reilly.
Something like, wasn't right there. Something that was kind of like, that was an awful.
Yeah. Like, that was kind of like, yeah.
Cage was broken or something.
That was just weird. But it's
just bad.
There is not a good idea for him to go to Raw or SmackDown. So if he is done with NXT, which it kind of seems like he is, there's nowhere for him to go in Raw or SmackDown. So yes, if he stayed and he got that $1 million payday, man, good for you. Get your money. AEW is not going anywhere. Your buddies are going to be there, but you're going to get squashed. Because, look, they brought up Cross, and he won today, finally. But, like, he's getting squashed, and he was the undefeated, NXT champion, and now he's part of Demolition.
Demolition Cross. Like, let's do it. Yeah. Here comes the Cross. He's but Demolition. He's wearing leather. It's really weird now. Don't really get it.
That's a sound
bite. Where the hell is Scarlett? She got exactly. over. Sorry, I could keep going.
It's okay.
No, this is no should. Alcohol, by the way.
No alcohol whatsoever. This guy.
Next week, that will be his music he comes out to.
Oh, yeah, God, I would love it. Promise. I would love it. I'd sue the pants off of WWE for taking my song, and I can just finally live out my days as a millionaire. Or not.
But I got it. You already see, like, I don't know how much you guys are paying social media today. Like, I was off. Like, you already see, like, Bucks, like, how do we summon Adam Cole? And that's going to be, like, a great storyline for AEW. Like, how do we bring Adam Cole back to life? Like, it's already, like, kind of, like, fading in. And then he would just do better wrestling-wise if not in NXT, because that's been a perfect playground for him in AEW, because he fits that style. All of his friends are there. I don't even think he should join his friends. I think he should even go against the Elite, like join Frankie Kazarian and like go against the Elite, like completely like give them like a new storyline. Then you can give tag. Yeah, they did kill him. Put in with like Kazarian with the Elite Killers, and then that's the way of taking the tag belts off of the Young Bucks and giving them to like Jurassic Express. Like he can go in and he can make a huge impact without stealing a title right off the bat and giving them giving the Elite a different storyline and giving him a storyline. So I think if he's thinking, plus his girlfriend's there, so if he's thinking career-wise, what can I do wrestling-wise, it's going to be AEW. If he wants to get a nice payday, but he doesn't mind getting his ass kicked for the next couple of years, that's great. Because like I said, AEW's not going anywhere, but it's the perfect time to just jump to AEW. He could be the first, because of his contract, not like a kind of expiring, but not being there. He could be the first one to do the WWE to WCW jump where there's no gap. He could show up Wednesday night. I think they should save him for All Out, but he could show up Wednesday night and just be like, fuck you, WWE. Fuck you, NXT. Like, I mean, here I am. Like, I'm going to, he could be the first one, and that could be like a big shock value. Even though we kind of see it coming, we kind of all thought we saw Punk coming, but he's still going to get that big pop if he just like runs out. Like, because it's like, he'll get the black pump. He'll get the black pop. It's like, oh, whoa. Because some people don't read the stuff of the contract. They're like, oh, he won't be here for another 30 days. Oh, he's free to jump Wednesday.
Yeah, it's very interesting, man. And I pay attention to all the little details during the match. And I think we all noticed the lockjaw during the, which I consider somewhat
an effective finisher.
Yeah, but when has Adam Cole ever done the lockjaw?
Yeah.
I love it, man. Little things like that, man. I eat that stuff up, man. I call it a little Easter egg. It's almost like a little message to the fans, you know. Now, Bill, I'm going to throw it to the Goodest Sister next, but I did ask you, you said it was confirmed that he is no longer with NXT.
Big old Mike Johnson from PW Insider said that was his final appearance in NXT.
In NXT, so that could mean...
And it was confirmed he's also not signed anything with anyone.
Hey, hear those offers, and that's undisputed. Kimmy, let's throw it to you.
Rob, I sent you that PWI article in the group chat
when
it was published.
What was I doing?
Damn, Rob.
I do have a life. Most people don't think I do, but I do actually have a life.
He mutes us because we just give him spoilers.
I do mute you guys. I love you guys to death.
I had to mute you. I had to mute your chat last night because it was like, I was trying to sleep. And I'm just like, shut up.
We're just like, Bill, please sing to us. We want another Killer Cross song. Go ahead, Jimmy.
Anyway, so I will also say, when the Young Bucks did that in their bio about how to bring people back to life, it took Bill 10 minutes to explain to me exactly what that meant.
They murdered him.
They killed him.
Wyatt, like, whirled in his hand, right? And Bill's like, no, Jimmy, this is what it means. I'm like, oh, okay. Hey, I brought up another good point. You can use that in there too with Bray Wyatt. Anyway, so as much as I'm upset that I got robbed of my Adam Cole Seth Rollins feud, because that's where WWE was somewhat heading, because they were feuding on the bump, and that's why Rollins will never be on that programming again. Yes, Bill.
I forgot. Oh. No, I was just like, oh yeah, I was like, that's right, I forgot.
So
Jimmy has that young brain that actually remembers stuff where all of us old people forget things within 5 minutes.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kimmy. God, I wish.
Thank you.
That's why she's here.
No problem. I try. I think, I don't know if he appears at All Out. I think they wait.
Mm.
I think they wait for Arthur Ashe. Because, No.
I love it.
Because where's Brian? Is Brian going to appear at All Out? Is Brian going to go to Arthur Ashe? That's my thing. So I think Brian goes first and then Cole. So I think Brian's going to appear at All Out and confront either Omega or Christian. And then and then Adam Cole will appear at Arthur Ashe.
Mm.
So I thought of a funny way you could debut him. It's at whoever he's fighting at All Out. And they just have him in the crowd like this. They just put the little thing. It's just like Rip Baker's boyfriend.
I love it.
Someone else said that one, but I came up with the fist.
That was him.
It's like concerned boyfriend, and everyone's like, "What?" And then it's like, "He's gone." And it's just like, "What happened?" And it's just like,
"Yeah,
do that, please do that." That's
brilliant. Kimmy makes a good point about, like, I think layering these debuts is going to be pretty big because we just started with the CM Punk. You know, you want to have enough time to let that simmer. And that's been something with AEW that I feel like there has been challenges with, that they have a big debut and it's great for literally 1 or 2 weeks and then it simmers down very quickly. Now, I think Punk is going to be the exception to this, but I think layering these where you aren't overshadowing someone with another and having it where you kind of are in not a big lull, but enough where like you have this almost sense of security and bam, someone else comes up and then you know, give them time and airtime and storyline time. Like I do feel like I like where she's going with it as far as, and I'm not sure if that's exactly what she meant, but I like that idea of like waiting, you know, just waiting a little bit to see. Cause that also could add to the allure of, wow, we haven't heard from Adam Cole in a few months, you know, wonder what's happening with him. And then boom, out of nowhere, that's where he comes. I feel like some that could be good, but I do think if they do have all of the people that it's being speculated, you have to find the right times to give them their own big moments and their own big introductions and kind of send them off to their program and then bring in the next person. Because if you do it too much, I feel like that, yes, in the moment, it could be big news, you know, of all these debuts or all these big things happening on one show. But then I feel like it could diminish, you know, someone's, you know, debut or program or story. Layering it, I think long term could be more beneficial.
I think you've seen that already with Andrade. I feel like he's not as special as he wants he should be.
Yes.
But I think his match with Matt Sydal was not good. So but I think his match with Pac is going to be.
Yeah.
I think that's what
it'll high be. Expectations on that one.
Yeah. Same. But I think his match with Kenny in AAA was also really good too.
Yeah.
But you're right. There's so many people rumored to go into AEW. People are saying like Ric Flair is destined to go there. Daniel Bray Bryan, Wyatt, obviously. Bray Wyatt is being contested now. I don't want him. I could do with that. I'd rather him go somewhere else because to me, I'm also like, guys, you need to go elsewhere so other companies could grow. But also
forbidden door.
But that's the other thing is supposedly there's all these rumors of at All Out, Moxley's going to fight someone from New Japan. So you can't like rush everyone in there right away. And Adam Cole is, I guess I'm just jumping in now. It's just, to me, as someone I think I've always equated him, he could be the next generational wrestler, like a Ric Flair, Shawn Michaels type, Bret Hart, you know. He's so good, and he's got the character. He's got the moves. I still think part of me still sees him in WWE for some reason, but, man, I don't think it's the right fit. I think he'd fit way better in AEW. AEW also, and I've said this multiple times because it's something that stuck with me when I first heard it, Tony Khan and Cody Rhodes talking about cycling wrestlers in and out. So people who are fresh. So right now, Jericho's getting cycled out. You can tell that. Cody's taking himself out of the game. Moxley was out for a little bit, but it'd keep people fresh. Like once Kenny Omega loses those belts, maybe Kenny Omega goes away for a few months, you know, works, gets that video game done. The Bucks lose, they take time off. And then you have Brian and Punk and Adam Cole and all these MJF and Hangman. They're all going to run. And then, okay, we'll take this guy out, move this guy in. Okay. Yep. We'll put these people in. And that if that's the way they really are intending to do it, then yeah, you could have a stacked roster. But if not, you have a big problem. But to me, Adam Cole should go to AEW because he'd be great there. He'd be beloved there. And he could just slot into any feud with so many people. And he just his reputation alone will make it big time. Him and Darby, him and Hangman, Miro, you name it. Geez. Run the gamut of people. Moxley. Yeah. He could have a 6-month program with John Moxley alone and it would be box office. Yeah. So that's the options they could do. Not everything has to be about the belt. So, but to me, Cole's got to, I want him in AEW. There are certain people that, like I said, Bray Wyatt, I don't want him in AEW. I don't think he fits AEW. I think, hey, go to Impact. Go be the head guy there. I said about Braun Strowman. They need a guy.
No.
Well, I'm just saying they need a guy to beat Kenny Omega. I think, it's not Kenny Omega anymore. Sorry. I think they're going to put it on Josh Alexander now, which I like that move. But you also need a box office guy. You need a box office guy. I love Josh Alexander. So good. But you need a couple of those names in there to get the crowds back in, to get people to buy your pay-per-views and do all that. I still think they need that.
Buddy Matthews.
Go ahead, Kenny.
That's who it's going to be. Buddy Matthews is going to head the Impact, calling it right now.
Buddy Matthew. That's what he's calling himself.
Yeah, that's
what
he's calling himself now.
Okay. No, I agree. He should go to Impact and he'll be
amazing there. Next division. When Josh Alexander gets the heavyweight title, you need
to replenish the X division because they've also had the same, you know, 5-6 key players in there now for almost 2 years. And you got to just, you know, rotate. You got to rotate people out. And so that's a prime one. Good points.
Yeah. And also, Ruby Riott to AEW too. So,
yeah.
Yes. I feel like the women's division is a whole other conversation because for all of the moments and big things they've done with the men's, the women, I think, is they keep it keeps somewhat missing the mark. I feel like Britt Baker is the true success story, but it's because they've had more long-term storytelling. And now you got to think, who else are you going to put it in there? You know, Nyla at first was that big, you know, powerful woman and pillar of the women's division. And she's kind of fell. So it's not even a rotation. It's, you know, I feel like some of their storytelling and planning is way too short term and not enough. Like, yeah. You know, it's a chess game. You got to think about all the pieces and all the players and in your roster, you know, and how they're all going to play intricate parts and who's going to be in side stories, who's going for championships. And they seem to, you know, have that fairly planned out on the men's side, but the women's side has just seemingly been a big challenge.
They have Thunder Rosa's super ridiculously over, but I've been saying forever, they need that woman like Ruby Riott. There's the veteran TV wrestler who can go out there. Everyone's going to love her and she'll just sharpen everybody up.
Yep. And then, she will.
And yep. But that's just from in ring. And then, but creatively, they're building small storylines on Dark and Elevation. It's just like, well,
yeah,
they'll put those on bigger shows.
Yep.
Because people will watch that. And people will like.
I like
that. We very much got away from where you were going.
No, Rob. No, it's all good. No, it's all good. I like this. This is an exciting time to see where everyone's going. Now, you guys are knocking out of the park. But I like in AEW, everybody does get to wrestle, whether it's Rampage, Elevation, Dark, and the stories do come together. Obviously, Dynamite being the big show, everyone can't be on Dynamite, but I do like how everything does kind of come together. There's little segments and skits and matches. The records come into play. We're looking at Thunder Rosa having that great record right now. She might be next with Britt, although they're teasing a little boots Statlander. All around, Statlander, which I'm here for. It'll be very interesting moving forward, but it sounds like everyone thinks that Adam Cole, baby, is going to AEW. It seems that way because a lot of people are emotional about NXT. Like, everyone's like, after this takeover, it's going to be different. Like, I bet there's a new set tomorrow. I think the tone's going to change. I think the roster's going to change. Like, I don't know how fast they're going to rip that Band-Aid off. I see a lot of these UK guys coming in, which is awesome. But that, in the back of my mind, I'm like, what's happening to NXT UK? I'm not saying it. I use the word condense. You get that feeling. I hope there's no more releases. It might be another tricky week with everything going on, man. It might, but hopefully we'll see a lot of these people in the right spots and land where they need to be. Real quick in the chat, Reese asking if Cole goes to AEW, how much do you think at some point that Adam and Britt would be forced into a mixed tag with Cody and Brandi somewhere down the line? That could be interesting. I love this.
I think Cody's winding down.
I don't know if Brandi has any desire to step back in the ring.
Sure. Yeah.
Sure. Mm-hmm. I'd be here for it though, for sure. But guys, this was a great panel. I'm glad we got to talk about all these exciting returns and hopefully see what this next chapter. I think we can all agree that this past week has just been a roller coaster for the world of wrestling and a lot of ups and downs, but some very memorable moments. And I'm just very excited to see what's going to happen moving forward. So thank you guys for making the time. But before we get out of here, we're all about the shameless promo here on the BCP. Miranda, tell everyone where they can follow you on social media, where they can find all your great shows, all that good stuff.
Yes, you can find me at @Miranda, hashtag spelled out, on Facebook and Instagram, not on Twitter. But you can follow any of the shows that I'm on thechairshot.com, @ChairShotMedia, which is on Twitter, and also luchacentral.com with the Lucha Central Weekly Podcast. So go ahead and check those out.
Yeah, they're awesome. And thank you, Miranda, for making the time. I very much appreciate it. Good to have you back.
Good to be back.
All right. And Camp, let's throw it to you. Camp does some great things with the local music scene. Obviously, it's been a different story with everything going on. But tell everyone about Jersey Campfire Promotions or Productions and where they can follow you on social media.
Yeah, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram is Jersey Campfire Productions. I'm sorry, Jersey Campfire. It's been such a long time. Jersey Campfire Productions. We actually are returning to full live music. Yep. October 29th at the Debonair Music Hall in Teaneck, New Jersey. It's going to be our first live show back since January 2020. So we're very excited about that. We're going to do shows every 2-3 months, kind of see where this all goes. But yeah, and all the social media sites, if you're a local music fan, if you're just a rock fan, then working along with Debonair Music Hall to bring some of the big bands in, like we've got Cold coming in, and just giving the locals a little, you know, be able to open for them. Plus, I get to, you know, work with these rock bands that I normally wouldn't be able to work with. So we got a lot of live music, in-person live music coming up starting in October. Like I said, October 29th is our first show back.
Love it. Yeah. And hashtag support local music. Promoters aren't always my favorite. It's not my favorite word in the world, but Camp's one of the good ones. I've worked with him so many times. Always a pleasure. Camp does great business. If you have a local band, reach out to him. Kimmy, let's get that laundry list so you can get your bedtime story and go to bed.
Bedtime story? No, we're just going to stay up till 3:45. Hello, all humans, people, and anyone else watching on the internet. You can find me on Twitter at Kimmy_Sokol. It's spelled that right there, S-O-K-O-L. Instagram, Kimmy Talks Wrestling. And the one promotion we didn't talk about is Ring of Honor. We are going on the tail end of the Ring of Honor Women's Division tournaments. Check it out. You could also check out my interview with Nicole Savoy at my YouTube channel at Kimmy Talks Wrestling. Well, thank you. I really tried. I found out about the interview an hour before it happened.
There.
But I'm happy it happened. Yay. My virtual signing stuff. So while I am in Aruba, things are still happening. Sonny Kiss and Quinn McKay. Speaking of the women's tournament, Quinn McKay. Nice. We'll be at the Wrestling Universe this weekend. So if you're in the local area in Queens, go check that out. And also Legend of the Ring, October 3rd. We have such huge guests. A lot of AEW talent there. The Varsity Blondes are there. Lon is there. Aubrey Edwards is there. So if you're in Jersey, you can check that out too. I don't know what I'm doing yet, but I'll be there too. Am I forgetting? I feel like, oh, Phil stuff. Right. I'm on thepopbreak.com. I write a bunch of articles on there. Bill's really going to kill me after this. Jesus. I write articles on there, so go check it out. I actually dissected my whole women's bracket for the Ring of Honor tournament, and my bracket's busted, and I really want to pick a new winner, as I told Bill before, but that's okay. And you can also check out, when I get back from vacation, Raw, NXT, SmackDown, Dynamite reviews on the No Holds Barred Network with Kyle and Tiff, which you can check out the AEP, the All Elite Podcast, which they do on there too. And that's it. Bill's turn.
All right. Well, if you must follow me on Twitter, I don't know why you would. It's at Bodkin Writes, W-R-I-T-E-S, where I'm just like talking about wrestling stuff, as well as retweeting stuff from thepopbreak.com, which I've been running since 2009. We are a digital pop culture magazine covering film, television, music, comic books, anime, pro wrestling, and digital trends. We are on Twitter at thepopbreak. We are /popbreak.com, all spelt out on Facebook. And we are at the Pop Break on Instagram. We are going back to shows. We just shot the Hell Omega tour at Citizens Bank Park in Philadelphia.
Great job, Al. Phenomenal.
Al, and we dusted out Logan Fowler from retirement to write the review. And I'm also the co-host of the Socially Distanced podcast, which drops every single Friday on Anchor, Google, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. It's myself and the aforementioned Al Manarino. We're talking about pop culture. We're currently in our What If review series, and we'll be talking also about a bunch of pop culture recommendations. And check out all the Pop Break. We have a whole bunch of podcasts on those aforementioned platforms. You can check out Pop Break TV. You can check out The Breakcast. You can check out And the Winner Still Is and the Way Too Early Oscar podcast. I'm also the once a month host of the TV Break podcast, where we're breaking down the Emmy Awards, and we'll be recording next week. And we'll also be talking about the Stephen Amell series Heels.
Love it, man. And Wittes with a great interview with Amell and some of the cast there. It's great.
The entire cast, my friend. The big cat did us proud.
That's how we do it on thepopbreak.com. Shameless promo. Bill, I can't wait to see you again. Got to give you your present. And guys, like we always say here on the PCP, everyone stay safe, stay positive, take care of each other. We out. Peace.